We're coming back to Joshua 3 again, Joshua chapter 3. And to cut to the chase, we're going to go to verse 5, where it says, Joshua commanded the people, sanctify yourselves. Joshua 3, verse 5, sanctify yourselves. If I may say that again, because that's really the theme of the whole passage. Sanctify yourselves. I choose these words because it does indeed cut to the chase of the purpose and the meaning of this history. The children of Israel were about to cross over the River Jordan, which normally is no big deal, but at harvest time, when the snowpack is melting on Mount Lebanon, the river widens tremendously. And to lead a population of over 1 million, up to 2 million people across that river was a very big event. Now, it took only one night for the Israelites to come out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the people. We learn from this that the world is very powerful. And the world clings to God's children after you are converted, after you profess faith in the Lord Jesus. The world still cries, serve me, walk in my ways. The way of Christ is narrow. The way of the world is broad. It's so much easier. And unfortunately, many people straddle the way of the world and the way of the walk of faith. As these people were looking forward to entering the life in the land of Canaan, Canaan life was to be about freedom. Freedom to serve God. Freedom to have victory over their enemies. The Lord had promised, I've given you the land. I will drive out the people. And so the Israelites were looking forward to entering and to conquering. Now, they were given promises, but they had to claim those promises. They had to fight for those promises to be fulfilled. And, of course, this is a picture for us. Every spiritual blessing which the Lord Jesus paid for at the cross, every blessing that he acquired through his death, through his blood, is promised to you by faith, but you must fight for it. Now, that's not salvation. Salvation is the atoning work of Christ applied by faith alone. Faith alone. But this sanctification, it's different. Sanctification or victory in the Christian life, it has to be fought for. You have to take the sword and conquer in the Lord's power and in the Lord's strength. I came across the story this week of Francis Havergal, the English gospel writer and soloist. And she wrote the hymn, which we're going to sing at the end of the service, Take My Life and Let It Be. Somewhere in her early Christian life, she read a book, All for Jesus. And she learned that if you're going to have blessing, there needs to be full surrender of life. And she learned that, and she exercised that, and she ended up writing that hymn as a result of it. Now, because she was a tremendous singer, her voice was in great demand in many worldly circles. But in that hymn, she wrote, Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. And she dedicated and consecrated her life that she would only sing for the Lord and no longer sing for the world. She also had acquired a great deal of jewelry, and she gave that up, and she consigned it to a missionary society for their use and benefit. And then she wrote in that hymn, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." We are all called to give up the things of this world for total dedication to Christ and his kingdom. You might ask, why? Why did Frances Havergal need to make that consecration that she would only sing the messages of the Lord and not entertain the world? Why did she feel that she needed to dedicate her precious jewelry to the missionary society? Why does Joshua say here in Joshua 3 verse 5, "Sanctify yourselves"? And here in this historic incident, this which is of great significance in the life of Israel and of many lessons to the Christian, why is there this call to sanctify yourselves before the children of Israel would cross that Jordan? Why did Joshua command them, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you"? I want today to explain the term sanctify. I want also to show you the expectation when we are sanctified, and then the application of sanctify. Three angles on the same command: sanctify yourselves. Firstly, the explanation. Now, firstly, let me notice that, what did I say? Two firstlies there? My counting is in sub-points here. First major issue, the explanation. Under that, first thing to note is this is something the people were to do for themselves. Sanctify yourselves. This is something that God's not going to do for them. They're not just to let go and let God. They were to do this for themselves. Now, on the night 40 years before, when Israel crossed the Red Sea, God opened the sea and led them across. That was something that God did. And that's a picture of our salvation, redemption. And they sang the song of Moses and of the Lord because the Lord led them across. It was his miracle. But now they are standing at the River Jordan. And the picture is of the Christian entering in to claim their possessions. And here's something that we must do. Firstly, and we are to do it, not just to be passively waiting for God to do something. Joshua said, "Sanctify yourselves." Now, the meaning of sanctify simply means set apart. That's all it means. Something that is set apart. On the days of creation, God set apart the seventh day. He sanctified it. He made it a day apart from all the others. In Exodus 13, when God delivered Israel from Egypt, when all the firstborn of Egypt were slain, the firstborn of Israel were redeemed. They were chosen. Indeed, God made the nation of Israel to be his firstborn people. The church, we are the church of the firstborn, peculiar, set apart unto God. That's what a Christian is. That's what is someone who has been to the cross and been washed in the blood of Jesus, has pleaded mercy and asked for new life in Christ. You are set apart. Sanctify yourselves. And then I want you to turn with me to Exodus 19. Here is the chapter just before the giving of the Ten Commandments. And here is a command given again to sanctify yourselves. Exodus 19, verse 5. Who's got it? Boys and girls, remember the sword drill? We're looking for Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 19, and verse 5. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, ye shall be a peculiar treasure. Peculiar, special, set apart unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And then down in verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Now the Israelites were well informed on ceremonial washings and cleansing and how they would prepare themselves to go into the presence of God. They were to set themselves apart. You know, the New Testament Christian is to do exactly the same. Let's turn again in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. So we're going to go to Ephesians, then Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then. Now, let me let you into a little secret. When you come upon in the New Testament the word if, many times it means since. It doesn't put a question mark on did you. It means since you are. If ye then be risen, since ye then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. What does mortify mean? To put to death. Set apart. You are to be a peculiar people. A different people. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. And we are to, well, that's 5:17, 6:17. Okay, there's the command. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So there's sanctify yourselves, come apart, wash, cleanse. If ye be risen, seek those things which are above. And we're also commanded to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And so there is nothing new, nothing fanciful, nothing dramatic about being sanctified. It means to be separate and to be apart from the ways of the world. And God's people should be ready and waiting for God to come and do his will in our hearts. Sanctify is preparation. Sanctify is cleansing. Sanctify is waiting for God to work. And that leads me now to the expectation of sanctified. Look at verse 5 here in Joshua 3, verse 5. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. And they were given the whole account of how things would happen. Verse 8 right through to verse 13, there was, a prophecy. There was a full instruction on how things are going to happen. And they were to sanctify themselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. For the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. And he goes on to tell them how the waters will open, the priests will stand in the river, and the people will pass over. And so a sanctified people expect the Lord to work mighty things in their midst. And they are willing to give up the old life for the new. They're to cross over the Jordan, which was, of course, the symbol, the way of death. Now, some take this as a type of the Christian entering into heaven. And I'm not going to have any big dispute with someone who does that. There are times when it might be fitting in its context. But more strictly, this crossing the Jordan is the picture of God's people going from the life of the flesh in the wilderness into the life of victory and conquering into the land of Canaan. And Jordan is therefore the picture of death, of dying to self, sanctify ourselves, and rising in the newness of life. Consistently in the Bible, those who are identified with Jordan, well, they are often identified also with death. Elijah, for example, and I need to take you to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8, and you will see here that Elijah also divided the waters of Jordan. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's just read the text. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Here's another miracle of crossing the Jordan on dry ground. And it preceded the death, or should we say the rapture of Elijah? Because immediately, Elijah is taken up into heaven. And it says in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I will do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And so Elijah is going to be taken up to heaven. He's crossing over the Jordan, and it's going to be a new life of service transferring to Elisha. So we see the picture. And then, of course, in Jordan, the Lord Jesus had his baptism. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Matthew 3, where the Lord under John the Baptist went down into Jordan, was baptized, and when he came out of the waters, the Holy Spirit descended, and he began his earthly ministry from that day forward, preaching the gospel. And so Jordan is the end of the old life and the beginning of a new life of service. And I want that for you. That's my burden today as we come to Joshua 3, that you would not live on and on a wilderness life, but that you would live in victory, that you would gain ground, that you would possess the possessions which are yours in Christ Jesus. Now, these sanctified people, they expected God to lead them over the Jordan. And they were told to prepare their stuff, prepare their families. And it meant to believe in God to lead them over the Jordan, which was fast flowing. It was wide. It was difficult to pass, especially for such a multitude of people. And it meant resignation to what God was going to do on their behalf. That's what sanctification is. That's what it is to sanctify yourself. Wait on God to go before you, to open up the way, and to work His will. You'll see in verse 4 that the verse goes on to say that you are to yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now that is where heartfelt faith comes in. God leading you in a new direction. And this is future. It says tomorrow. So today, sanctify yourselves. Wash, prepare, cleanse. Seek God. Trust in Him. Tomorrow, you are going away that you've never gone before, and the Lord will go before you. And all of this was marvelously fulfilled. And this is for our learning. Because when you travel the Christian life, tomorrow is a way that you've never gone before. And many of God's people in many situations find that they are in new territory on a different pathway. And God leads you and calls you to go through a new phase of life, a way that you've never gone before. It might be moving home. And with all of that, it's going to involve many, many decisions. New church, new friends, new opportunities, giving up and cutting off old things. And for that, you need to sanctify yourself. You need to trust how the Lord is going to lead you. For some, it might be marriage, and you haven't gone that way before. And it's going to mean a whole change in life. Or a new job. You've got an opportunity, and it's providential, staring you in the face, that this is God's will for you. And very often God does that. The thing that He provides, you may never even have expected, but it's so obviously right. It's like God's command, go over. And you must do it. How do you do it? Sanctify yourselves. For some it might be illness or infirmity of the body. And you know that it's not going to change. The limitations that you have now with this new physical problem, it's not going to go away. You have to live with it. And it means a whole adjustment. How can you do it? Sanctify yourself. Trust in the Lord to lead you over. It might even be death. And of course, death is called the valley of the shadow of death. And the Lord has promised that when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Now, that great promise in Isaiah 43, I tied into that what happened to the Israelites as they went through the Red Sea. And God made the waters to stand on both sides. And they went through that dry seabed. It was a valley. And to the Christian, death is the valley of the shadow of death. But the Lord says, I will be with thee. And He leads us across to the other side. That's the hope of the Christian. How do you prepare for that? Sanctify yourselves. Set yourself as separate unto the Lord. Cleanse yourself. Prepare for that hour. For some, it might be bereavement. And God has called you to ask, travel away that you would never ask for. But it's His providence. And through the sorrow and the trial of bereavement, the Lord says, go over, go on, and I will be with you. I will open up the way ahead. Indeed, He promises to be a husband to the widow. And then there are untold uncertainties that everyone has to go over. And this is how we sanctify ourselves, that we might be known as peculiar to the Lord, separate unto Him. Now think on this truth. By setting ourselves apart to God, He will lead us across our Jordan, your Jordan. And I want you to have the comfort of that. What a terrible thing to see Christians miserable, burdened, fearful, when we have this expectation that the Lord will lead us over. Think of the great promise to Israel, I will be with thee. The water shall not overflood thee. Now, sanctified people also expect to have God's presence with them. If you look down at verse 6, you will see when they were called to sanctify themselves, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this was the symbol of God's presence with His people. And by the way, this was the end of the cloud. For 40 years, they had the benefit of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That was a supernatural leading and mark of God's presence with His people in the wilderness. But now that was over. And the symbol of God's presence was the ark. And the priests were to take that ark in the front. And they were to go down into the river, stepping into the very water. God would divide it or hold back the water. And the priest with the Ark of the Covenant would be down in the riverbed. And while the ark was there, the people were to pass over. That was the evidence of God being present with His people. Now, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant is no more. It was stolen from Jerusalem AD 71. It was transported away, never to be known again. We don't have the pillar of cloud. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant. But we have Christ, God in the flesh, tabernacling among us. He's our Emmanuel, God with us. And He has promised that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. He walks in the midst of the candlestick. And so the Christian church, the people of God, can expect that where we meet in Jesus' name, that the Lord will be in the very midst. And we need to look to the Lord. Now, this is very important today because there are many people, they want the dramatic. They want something like the cloud. They want some object to lead them. But who is our banner? It is Christ Himself who's in the midst. And remember that inside that Ark of the Covenant, there were the Ten Commandments, the testimony. And we have the Word of God. And it's where this Word is honored and preached that we have God's blessing. And so the Lord is with us. And a people who sanctify themselves, they expect to have and to enjoy the very presence of the Lord. Now, some people treat the Bible very haphazardly. And they think that they can neglect it day after day or week after week, and then suddenly they can come and read a few verses and God will speak to them. No, we need to sanctify ourselves. And we need to hear the Lord's word. Notice in verse 9 that this is exactly what Joshua did. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now that's deliberate. That is to gather together with purpose. And we need that attitude when we come to read and study and be guided by God's word. We need the Psalm 119 attitude. If you ever read Psalm 119, it's filled with attitude of devotion to the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. That's the Psalm 119 attitude. And that's what it is to set yourself apart, to sanctify yourself and handle God's word as your map and as your guide. Now, are you doing that? Firstly, are you a Bible reader? This is where it starts. You are not going to follow men. In fact, let me point something out. In verse 4, they were to put a space between themselves of about 2,000 cubits by measure and the Ark of the Covenant. 2,000 cubits. That's about 3/4 of a mile, somewhere between 1/2 mile and 3/4 of a mile. Now think of the vast number of people who were looking to that ark for guidance, to know when to move, to know where to go. If they were all crammed up around it, very few would see or even be able to observe the ark. But when they kept a significant distance between the people and the ark, they each could see. They could keep their eyes on that ark of the covenant. They knew when it moved. They knew when the water divided. They knew when the priests were in the middle of the river and they got the command to pass over. And you and I are to keep our eyes on the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Don't be looking to the world. Don't be distracted by the many things of this world. Sanctify yourselves and expect the Lord to be with you and expect the Lord to lead you and guide you for us by His word. Are you doing that? Are you memorizing the scriptures? Now, you might be here today searching and seeking, wanting to know what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil, and you're at a place of searching. But you must search the scriptures. You must be a Berean to search the scriptures to see if these things be so. Get your knowledge from the book. Get your truth from the written word. Don't be following men. You see, if they hadn't kept that distance from the ark, they would have all had made the herd mentality. And if somebody moved around, well, let's keep going here. And they could all be just following one another. That's confusion. But when you get your eyes and your heart fixed in the word of God, God will guide you. And He will lead you into His truth. Now, that brings me to the application of sanctify. The application is how we follow through on this lesson. Well, number one, we must follow the Lord loyally, as Israel were to follow the Ark of the Covenant loyally. Distractions are a very big problem in the Christian life. And false religions, new ideas, fads, personality leaders. But I think above and beyond that, one of the big distractions in a person's Christian life is no time. No time for spiritual things. One of the most common excuses that you will find when you invite people to church, I have no time. And the most common excuses of Christians when you ask them, are you studying the Bible? Oh, I don't have time. But if you're to sanctify yourself, the application of sanctify is to apply this word to your life. The other thing that people come up with is taking shortcuts. And I have to tell you, after over 40 years as a Christian, there are no shortcuts to the sanctified life. There are no shortcuts to victory in the Christian life. People want an experience. People want something new. But God says, sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart for God, to be used of God, and to be blessed of God. Hear His word. Go forth in faith that the waters will open. When you look at verse 13, you will see that there was the expectation. Joshua said, it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. There is the miracle. And when you sanctify yourself, set yourself apart for God, the Lord will work. And when you step forth, the Lord will open up the way. He will make a path in your Christian life, in your walk. And there might be somebody here today, and you're saying, I'm going to quit. I can't do this anymore. I can't live the Christian life anymore. The way is shut up for me. It's impossible. Well, God says to you, sanctify yourself. Trust in His command, and He will open a way. And if you read down in verse 15 right through to 17, you'll see exactly how it happened. As they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, and then that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam. And it was only when the feet of the priests were dipped in the water. What does that mean? That was trust. That was absolute confidence. God's going to do this. They didn't have the evidence first and then obey. That's not faith. That's walking by sight. But God says, sanctify yourselves. Saturate yourself in His word. Learn His will. And step out and do it. And the Lord will be with you to open the way. One final application in sanctifying ourselves. You'll notice in verse 7 that God honored Joshua. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel. Now there's God putting His stamp upon His man to lead the people. But you'll notice in verse 10 that Joshua honored God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Joshua is not taking any of the honor for the miracle of crossing over. He was not clapping himself on the back saying, I'm a great leader. He gave the honor unto God. And that is an application of sanctifying yourself by giving the Lord the honor and giving Him all the glory. And so this is the call to you today. Whatever your situation in life, whatever your difficulties in living the Christian life, whatever miracle you need, here's the answer. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm asking you, are you willing to surrender your life and leave your life to the will of the Lord? Frances Havergal decided that she would only use her voice for the Lord. The hymn also calls to surrender our silver and gold. But if you look at that hymn, and we're going to sing it in a few moments, the hymn also says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my will. Take my love. That's to sanctify yourself. You give your all to the Lord, believing that as the little boy gave his lunch to the Lord Jesus, that the Lord can multiply and make you a blessing, open up the way for you, and lead you forward. Will you trust him today with all of your life? Frances Havergal came to the realization that every corner, and the story I read said every cubicle of her life, every little compartment of her life needed to be laid at the feet of Jesus. I'm calling you to do that today. And when you consecrate your life to the Lord, sanctify yourself, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. And it's when you lay yourself on the line that the Lord will show his power in your life. There may be somebody here today and you're not a Christian. And you're thinking, as I did when I was 18 years old, I could never be a Christian. I could never live a Christian life. I could never keep myself as a Christian. You see, the wonderful thing is that when you give your heart to the Lord keeps us. He keeps us. It's his keeping power, kept by the power of God through faith. That's how Peter put it. But you've got to give your life, give your all to the Lord Jesus. Would you do that today? Would you say, Lord, take me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Every department of my life, I lay it on the altar of service. And I look to you, Lord, to do the wonders, to do the miracles, to give me the blessings that I need to live a victorious life, a life of conquering, not of defeat, a life of going forward over the Jordan. I'm dying to self that I might live a new life in Christ. Are you ready for that today? If you say yes, Christ will have you, because he says, I will in no wise cast out all that come to me. And I invite you to speak with me after this meeting today, that you might either come to Christ or dedicate your life afresh and give yourself to the Lord, that tomorrow or in the future, you will see him do wonders, do things that you never thought possible. That's the message and the miracle we find here.